Man, we are walking into the unknown and everything else, and boy, the Lord really threw us a curve this morning, and look what you got to preach to you, me. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, I really will do my best, but you know, there's nothing like the pastor. The pastor told me to share with you that what had happened was they had a meeting, and after they had the meeting, apparently Ben Sly had contracted COVID, and he got it kind of, and he wants me to assure you, they do not have COVID, but they have been exposed to it, and as a precaution, they want to take the proper steps necessary to prevent you, as the shepherd of the flock, he wants to take the proper precautions to keep you from getting it. So don't worry. You know, I mean, I got the call at 7 o'clock this morning. Guess what? You're going to turn your Sunday school lesson into a sermon.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so that's where I am, and that's what's going on. So if I could just ask Tim, I'm going to ask you to pray for me, and ask for you to pray for this service, okay?
Dear Heavenly Father, let your words come out of David's mouth. Bless him as he gives your word. Bless the service. Bless everybody that's in the service, and let them have an amazing day. And Lord, let your words penetrate our hearts, and we thank you and glorify you, Father.
Amen. Now, the thing I want to kind of open with is a lot of people, there are a couple of people here probably in light of Pastor Sly. And I want to tell you that when I speak to everybody, there is a touch that comes from our pastor that is unique to everyone. Isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to have a pastor like we have? He ministers to each one of us individually through Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And the thing is, for me, I was a minister in trouble. And I had a very heartbreaking situation. And I won't go into detail about all of that. That's not necessary. But Pastor Sly was one of the people that was there for me to hold me in place and get me back up on my feet again and point me in the right direction to get in right relationship with the Lord. And he also married my wife and me, and he performed our wedding ceremony. It was just a very small ceremony. There were two other people there other than him. And he's done wonderful things, and I'm sure if we had a line of people, we could take more all day just talking about the things that God has done through our pastor towards us. So that's one thing I wanted to recognize. The second thing I wanted to recognize is how all the fathers this morning, could you stand? Could all the fathers stand, please? Everybody who's a dad, could you please stand? Okay, can we have a word of applause, a clap for, yeah. Way to go, dads. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. There's nothing like children and the heritage of the Lord moving on. And all you ladies, I want to be sure and wish you a happy Father's Day as well. Okay. And that's coming. My wife is trying to make a copy for this young lady, and that has the opening part of my sermon. So I'm gonna kind of start. We have been talking in Sunday school. If you haven't come to Sunday school for the time, we have been talking about the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, what you see, what the book of Acts is, it's the Acts of the Apostles is the title of it. But actually what the book of Acts is really about is the birth of the church. And it's the way the Holy Ghost ministers to men who are yielded to Jesus Christ, who preached the gospel all around the world. And one of the most significant characters in the book of Acts is the Apostle Paul. We have come to his place in the book of Acts. And can anybody tell me who wrote the book of Acts? Who do you think wrote it? Well, if you look at the Gospel of Luke, it starts out, Luke is announcing the gospel, and he's talking about Theophilus. Theophilus. He's talking to Theophilus. And the word Theophilus means beloved. So she's got a preacher's heart, doesn't she? I mean, man, that little thing can got some lungs. And so he's talking to Theophilus. Well, if you look at the beginning in the first words of the book of Acts, it's just like the Gospel of Luke. He's continuing to Theophilus. So it's strongly believed that the man Luke wrote the book of Acts. In fact, in the latter part, around 21, 22, around there somewhere, you start seeing, and we went here, and we went there, and we were in this situation, and we were in that situation. Luke joined up with Paul at a certain point in his missionary journeys and when they begin to describe him. And Luke is the one that visited Paul when he was a prisoner at Rome. He says to Timothy, Luke is still with me. If you look at the cell that Paul was in, you know, the man that was in Paul's cell in that prison, it was so horrible and so dank in that prison that when the man who went there the day before he did, tradition says that he went in there a totally sane man, and when they pulled him out the next day, it was literally a hole in the ground. And when they pulled him out the next day, his hair was completely turned white, and he was stark raving mad. Paul was in there for a lot longer than that. Paul was in there for almost a year. Okay? So Paul is quite a character in the book of Acts. Let me start off by saying this. He was Paul, also known as Saul of Tarsus. His name was changed at his conversion when God met him on the road to Damascus. And when God met him on the road to Damascus. Then he ministered in various places, but he started his ministry, if you'll look at your maps. Dusty, can I borrow your map? I just need to borrow this one. If you'll look at this chart here, in chapter 9, he spends 3 years in Arabia studying the word of God that he knew very much about under the leading of a man named Gamaliel. In Antioch in Jerusalem, okay, he is ministering there. He's preaching the gospel in Antioch for 1 year, and he meets up and he's supported by a man by the name of Barnabas. And Paul realizes that he's an apostle of God. He's not one of the 12 apostles. Anybody know the name of the guy that was chosen to be an apostle in the first chapter of the book of Acts? We have an area in West Virginia that's much like his. It's called Matthias. Matthias was chosen to be the apostle to take the place of Judas, okay? But Paul was a whole different kind of an apostle. He was a totally different situation. And I want you to note some things about him. He did three long missionary journeys, okay? They were hard. In the 13th and the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, from 48 A.D. to 49 A.D., took a whole year for him to sail across to Cyprus, Okay? And then he got into a confrontation with a guy by the name of Bar Jesus, and he told him, he said, "You're going to be blind for a season," because he was trying to interfere with him preaching the gospel to the governor. And you know what? Who knew about blindness but Paul? Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus. He knew about that. And this man was blinded for a season. And as a result, these miracles that take place, these powers that go on, you know, they result in souls being won to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sails up. He goes up to the upper coast, and he goes up to Antioch on the first missionary journey. And then the next thing you know, he's at Antioch, okay? And in the second Antioch up north. And he goes down to Derbe. He nearly gets stoned to death on his first missionary journey. You know, you think I'd quit. I'd say, well, you know, I did my part. Theresa, do you have my copies? I need those. Well, I have something written on those. And there's a traditional thing that our pastor does before I go any further. Take this and hold it up. I recorded this a couple of Sundays ago. It goes like this. I believe, everybody say, I believe. I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word for me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything. Everybody say, everything. Everything God's word says I can have. I can be what God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for being here among us. Hallelujah. Here, let me give you a condensed version of what I was originally going to give you until I got this. Paul's original name was Saul of Tarsus. He was an apostle though not one of the 12 apostles who taught the gospel of Jesus Christ to the first century world. In the mid-40s AD to the mid-50s AD, he founded several churches in Asia Minor. This guy's no pipsqueak. He's the big deal, okay? And Europe. In what was then the Roman Empire during the course of three long missionary journeys. 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament have traditionally been attributed to Paul. Approximately half of the book of Acts of the Apostles deals with Paul's life and works. The Pauline authorship of Hebrews is distributed by scholars, you see, because Hebrews was written in Hebrew, to Hebrews, okay? And Paul never wrote in Hebrew. And Paul, when he wrote a book, if you read every one of his books, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. See, he announces himself. You know, the writer of Hebrews, he didn't care if you knew who he was. He just wanted you to know who Jesus was. But Paul did, too. Not that Paul didn't, but the writer of Hebrews didn't. And so Hebrews is could be written by Paul. He might have been writing in Hebrew instead of that. Just some stuff that you might want to know about the Apostle Paul. And we were going to teach on Acts chapter 19, and there's a lot of good sermon material in this. So I'll be preaching until about 3 o'clock this afternoon. I hope you enjoy yourself. No, I'm not going to be taking that long. Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 19, the disciples being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yes, there were disciples. You see, Paul, he had sailed down in his third missionary journey. He was revisiting the churches that he had visited before. On his second missionary journey, he had gone through Athens. That's where he preached his sermon on Mars Hill, known as the Sermon to the Unknown God. And he showed them who the unknown God was, and now they could know him through his son, Jesus Christ. And then he went to Corinth, established the church in Corinth. So he went back through Corinth to see how it was doing. Okay? And then he came back to a church at Ephesus. Anybody ever heard the name of the church Ephesus before? Anybody read the Bible and found another place in the Bible by another author by the name of John who wrote about the church in Ephesus? Yeah, it was one of the seven churches in Asia that Jesus in the book of Revelation reveals to John. And their one little problem was they had left their first love. And God and Jesus was going to remove their candlestick from their place unless they had repented. We need to come back to Jesus sometimes, don't we? We need to put him in first place. And you know, right here, he left Apollos, left at Corinth. Paul heads to Ephesus to find the disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, these aren't apostles. These aren't the 12 apostles that followed Jesus. These are new guys that are just learning about the Lord because they hadn't heard anything but the baptism of repentance. They hadn't heard anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They hadn't heard that at all. And Paul asked this question, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? You know, our pastor always says, I received Jesus as my Savior. It's easy to receive the forgiveness of Jesus, isn't it? It's readily free to all. And if you want forgiveness from God, all you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me, and he'll forgive you. And you'll go to the Lord and say, you remember when I did that sin? He said, I don't remember your sin. It's as far as the east is from the west. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. And that's a good thing to abide in. But you know, when you are there with God, guess what? You have just stepped into ankle-deep waters. There's more. It gets deeper and wider and fuller. And that fullness is when you go from accepting Jesus as your Savior. Our pastor says, I accepted Jesus as Savior many times. When he was in the military, he told me of a time when his TI tried to get, or his drilling, I had a TI. He had a drill instructor. Okay. TIs in the Air Force are drill instructors. Okay, but his drill instructor tried to get him to deny Christ. He wouldn't do it. He refused to do it. Now, was he living for the Lord like he is now? No. But he had Jesus as his Savior. Okay? A lot of people will have Jesus as their Savior. But when you catch a vision of eternity, here's what you need to think about. You're going to stand before Almighty God one day, and the things that you have done with Jesus and the opportunities that you have to serve the Lord, you're going to hold them before God. And you yourself aren't going to be put through the fire, but the things that you did for God are going to be tried with fervent heat. And the things that last after that fervent heat. And thank God that that's going to happen. Because if we go before Jesus, he's already been disgraced, defiled, maimed, and made lower than a worm on the earth. All you got to do is read Psalms 22. Say, Psalms 22, that's Old Testament. When we're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, read it. You got the crucifixion of Jesus Christ right in Psalms 22. No disgrace is going to be allowed by our Heavenly Father to come into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see? And so if you have Jesus as your Savior, that's a wonderful thing. Thank God you're saved. Hallelujah! But there's more. You've waded ankle deep into the water. But there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost that you need. Jesus said, Tarry until ye be in Jerusalem, until ye be endued with a power from on high. Am I still on? I hope so. Until you be endued with power from on high. I'm like, Pastor, I don't really need a microphone. I got a big mouth. Okay. And dive in to the things of God. Why? Because when you stand before Jesus, when you stand before God and your works are tried with fervent heat, and you've followed the Holy Ghost and you've done the things, can you imagine this guy, Paul, when he stands before the Lord? Can you imagine the carts and the crates that are brought before the Lord in heaven and all the wealth and everything like that? And can you imagine him when he stands before Jesus and he presents his crown to the Lord? You're going to need a big crane to give that to Jesus. In Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says that Jesus has many crowns. Whose crowns are they? They're ours. Don't you want to give a big crown with rubies on it and all those wonderful things to the Lord? Then you need to get out of the ankle deep. You need to stop just making Jesus your Savior. And you need to put Jesus, like my wife says, on the throne of your heart and make him Lord of your life. Jesus said, if you love your father and mother more than you love me, then you have no part of me. He even said, if you don't hate father and mother, that's how serious that was. I don't think Jesus wants you to hate your mom or dad. That's not what he was saying. But by comparison, I need to be first place in your life. I need to be the number one thing that you serve in your life. You need to walk through your life serving Jesus as number one. Pray in the morning. Say, Jesus, what today can I do to make you first in my life? What do you want first above all things? Is there something in your life you just can't give up to God? You're just wrestling with it and you want it. That's a problem. You need to go to God and give you the strength to release it. And see if he doesn't, in the case of Micah, it was money. People weren't paying the offerings. In that case, in one case, they were paying the offerings. They're paying everything. But you guys worship me with your mouth and your lips, but your heart is far from me. You see? God needs to be number one. Jesus needs to be number one. And when you put Jesus on the throne of your heart, guess what happens? He cleanses you within. But he doesn't just clean you up to show you off like a car on the road. He cleans you up so that the Holy Ghost can indwell you, empower you to do the will of God. Because you cannot do the things that God called you to do without the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. We're about to embark on something. I have no idea what's going to happen to this church. I don't know. But I do know this, that if I walk in God, if I wait on God, I know that he'll answer everything. I know that he'll give a direction. And he'll have a place for you, and he'll have a place for me to minister in this church and do great things. Because he's no respecter of persons. He did it for Paul. He'll do it for me. He'll do it for me. And he laid hands on these men, and he told them about John's baptism of repentance. And then he explained to them that John was waiting for someone who was greater, who was going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. And they were going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's get out of the ankle-deep water. Let's dive in the water of God and fill ourselves and be overflowed with the power of the Spirit. And let him operate in this place. Let him work in this place. You know? I know there's certain things that women shouldn't do in the church. I know that. The Bible does say that. But let me ask you ladies something this morning. Why would God fill you with the Holy Ghost if he didn't want to use you for his glory? Amen. In something. You have a purpose. You have a ministry in the church of Jesus Christ. Don't ever doubt your position in God. Don't ever underestimate what God that God has something. You are not a second-rate vessel for God. You are highly favored, a chosen vessel. When the Bible says the weaker vessel, it actually meant the more fragile vessel. Let me tell you, that Raptor 22 airplane, that needs a lot of maintenance and a lot of tender care to do what it does. One little scratch, one little blemish on that plane will cause it to be seen by radar everywhere. It needs to be tenderly cared for. Believe me. That big tank that the American people have, one of the most powerful tanks in the world. Yeah, but it needs a lot of maintenance. You got to have a big bunch of crew to go behind it to keep it going. You see? Yeah, because it's important. And if you think that God won't take care of you just because you're who you are, maybe you're not a woman, maybe you're a man, but you're in a position in the church and you're wondering what God wants to do with you. Fathers, non-fathers, men who are here and you aren't fathers. God didn't call you to that yet. Or maybe he isn't ever going to call you to it. That's okay. You're not a second rate. You're used of God. You're a vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ to be indwelled just like he was indwelled with the power of the Holy Ghost to work through you. Great things will happen. It says later in this chapter, it says that Paul, they took pieces of his garment and made handkerchiefs with it and aprons. And they brought it to people and laid it on them, and they were healed. You know, Paul was preaching, and he went into the synagogue at Ephesus. And when he went into the synagogue, and read the 19th chapter, you'll find out about this. He went in there, and he started to preach, and people were converted, but other people rebelled against him. You know, there are people always in the church. The devil's always at work here. He is. I don't think the devil's in this morning. I think it's all about God's timing. I think this is God. Don't be distressed about it. It's all about God's timing. Maybe you needed to hear what God had put on my heart about this Sunday school class. Maybe what I'm telling you is you need to seek the Holy Ghost. You need to allow him to empower you. And they say, you know, the Assemblies of God always says, well, you can't have the Holy Ghost unless you have the evidence of speaking in tongues. You know, I'm not so concerned about gifts and all of that. You know, I have this gift. I can prophesy. I can do this. I really want the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I want the Holy Spirit to cultivate those things in me. And you know what? That'll take care of ministry. I'll guarantee it. If you've got long-suffering and temperance and patience and all of those things that it talks about, then you're going to minister for God. I see people every day. These two right here, I'll tell you. I see a woman holding a baby that just has the love of God all over her. A little kid comes up to me from a family and just gives me a big hug out of the blue. Just blows me away. I ministered to. You know, when we were talking about it, Marlena and I were talking about it, when a child comes up to you. You know, I was thinking of Metalark Lemon, you know, when he used to call that. Remember when how many of you remember the Harlem Globetrotters? Yeah. You know, when he used to call that kid out onto the basketball court. A little kid, 2-3 years old, he'd be out there playing with them on the court, endearing the crowd. Now, how do you get like a 7'2", big, huge black guy with hands that could wrap around a basketball, just reach out and grab it and hold it like this, just walk away with it? How do you get a guy like that to take a kid Miles' age and walk him out onto a court? And he's doing everything. He's right there with him, and they're just in the middle of the floor just playing with each other. And the whole audience would just fall back and just go, oh, isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful what God does to us like that? Pulls us right out and sets us up in front of everybody and says, here's a part of me. Don't you want people to see Jesus in you? Don't you want people to see the Lord in you? You know, the Holy Ghost will give you strength. You know, I'll tell you one thing. You ask my wife. I get cramped sometimes at night, you know, because I'm out of shape, you know. And I'll be overdoing it in the yard, and I'll be working, you know, with other people about, you know, trimming hedges and all, doing all that yard work and all of that stuff, doing all that standing and walking all during the day. In the middle of the night, after eating a piece of cake or something like that, or having pasta or something like that, I'll get cramps in the middle of the night. And you ask her if I'm a big, brave guy who loves to endure pain. I cry like a baby. You know, but the Holy Ghost, when Peter went in and he was whipped by those folks. This is in the book of Acts too. He was whipped. What did he do? He rejoiced. Him and John rejoiced that they could suffer for the Lord. Man, oh, day. Talk about peculiar people. The Holy Ghost will give you strength to endure anything the enemy throws your way. And he'll give you the victory in the end. See, these people are arguing with Paul. They're in the synagogue when he went in. They started arguing with him. You know what he did? Those disciples that he prayed for and they received the Holy Ghost, he grabbed those guys and said, hey, we're going to go down to the school of Tyrannus, okay? We're going to go down to that school and we're going to study there. And he debated with them and worked with them about the Word of God. You know how long that took? 2 years he was there. And many came to Christ and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was when the patches were handed out. And that's when he started giving people, you know, those patches for healing. And God blessed Paul. And he did miracles in his life. You know, when you put God first in your life, when that's the number one, I'm not saying you got to go on a missionary journey. I'm not saying that. You just got to do what God has for you to do. That's all. You just got to say yes to the Lord and do what he wants you to do and trust him for it. And the windows of heaven will pour themselves upon you. Get out of the ankle deep. Get into it. And then, wow, I don't even know where I'm at in these notes. And then there were people that saw Paul doing, saw the miracles. They saw the laying on of hands and the praying for the sick and all of this. And these guys were exorcists, or at least they thought they were. They were the sons of Sceva, who was a high priest. Be careful of your position, okay? Be careful of family. You got to be careful of that. Don't rely on the fact that your mom or dad is a preacher or a teacher or somebody who was saved and dynamic for the Lord. That doesn't work for you alone. You've got to find that secret place. In Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You got to get there. You got to abide under that place. You've got to receive Jesus as your Savior and make him the Lord of your life in order for the Holy Ghost to come inside you. Because these sons of Sceva, they were the sons of the high priest in Ephesus, the Jewish high priest in Ephesus. And they were watching people get delivered from evil spirits and demons. So they decided they had that because they, after all, were the sons of the high priest. So we're going to tell this spirit to come out in the name of Jesus even. And the demon spoke. Have you ever had a demon? Have you ever been in that situation where somebody was being delivered of demon possession? I've had that experience recently. I've seen, I wasn't possessed with a demon, no. But someone was possessed with a demon, and my wife was praying for them, and the demon spoke. spoke to my wife, said, "You aren't what you think you are. You're nobody." Well, you know something? I happen to know my wife. And let me tell you something about my wife. When my wife gets up out of bed and she puts her feet on the floor, demons are trembling. She has already been praying for almost 15, 20 minutes before she even got out of bed. Okay? That's my wife. You better look out. She's coming. And it's coming to you today. So I told the demon, I said, "Hey, I may not be anybody you know, but she is somebody you know well, and you're lying through your teeth." I said, "Be silent." And he went. Just like that. Ask her. I'll tell you. When you've got authority in God, when you've been in that quiet place, and you know you are a child of God and that you are walking in the authority of the Holy Ghost, hey, there's no stopping you. There's no stopping you. Trials are going to come. The enemy's going to try to come against you. And don't panic. Stay calm. They're the liar, and they belong to the father of lies. Okay? What did we say? I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I trust in the Word of God. These sons of Sceva, even though they had a dad that was a priest, they tried to cast out that demon. And you know what? They got mugged. And this is what the scripture says. The demon looked right at him and said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know." You know when you translate that, you know how that comes out? We know the Jesus in Paul. What in the world are you? And there were seven against one demon. And he whipped up on all of them, had them running out of the house, beat up and butt naked down the street. You better know that you know that you know that you're called of God if you're going to do the ministry of God. Amen? Amen. Dwell in the secret place. The demons will know who you are. And then Paul sends Timotheus and Aureus to Macedonia. You know where Philippi is? You hear the story of the Philippian jailer? He sent Timothy there. And he sent him to Thessalonica and Berea and Apollos and all those other places. I'm trying to teach the Sunday school class still. You know, Paul had a lot of disciples. He had a lot of people that followed him. And you know what? If you follow God, people are going to follow you. Paul said this, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Follow me as I follow Christ. How much time do I got? I see people looking at their watches. It's 11:53. See, I timed that right. See? Would you all stand with me for a minute? This is going to go off. Okay, now it's not. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just look into the hearts of everyone that's here. I know it's a little confusing today, and I know things have not been what we expected. But God, I know that there's somebody here that's seeking the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that wants a deeper walk with Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I just want to ask, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of everyone here. We all want to walk closer with you, just a closer walk with you. And God, we just ask you this morning, Lord, that you would just indwell us, that we would place you on the throne of our heart, Lord God. We just give you the throne of our heart, and we ask you to be Lord of our life, not just Savior, but Lord of our life. And help us to dive into what is that greater and fuller relationship with you through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to be kind of bold this morning, and you want to receive that infilling, would you come forward today? Would you step forward and receive the baptism? We'll pray for you. It may not happen today, might happen tomorrow, might happen a week from now. But you want to take that step of faith and say, Lord, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got one. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else who'd like to come forward to receive the Holy Ghost this morning? Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would touch Dusty, that you would fill him with the Holy Ghost, that you would make him a cleansed vessel as he places you first in his life.